start your day, Torah Maaseh Yud Gimel Shvat Tovshin Pei Daled, Rav Moshe Stamler.
Good morning, everybody. The title of this share is Feeding the Bearded Dragon, and it's aroused some interest as to what it's actually about. Someone suggested maybe I was the bearded dragon, and when my wife gives me supper, that's feeding the bearded dragon. Someone else thought it might be about trimming the beard of the dragon during the Omer, the 3 weeks. In fact, I will show you a picture of a bearded dragon. And for those who are listening and can't see, it's a picture of a bearded dragon. But perhaps be a bit more specific. So what it is, it's a type of lizard. And you can see that it grows to about 45 centimetres long. It's about as long as one's arm, maybe the lower arm. And it's got this sort of pouch there with all protrusions on, which it expands when it's angry or people are threatened, to look like this. The reason why this came up is because my son, who's actually just walked in this minute, a few months ago purchased a bearded dragon as a low maintenance pet. It cost about, with the its cage, which is called the vivarium, did you know that? It's called the vivarium. It cost about £300 altogether. And the shiloh was about caring for the bearded dragon on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, about that. So there's various shilohs. The name, by the way, is Eli. Naftali maintained that it was given that name before you got it. I don't know how you do a shinu Hashem. You could change the name. Well, how do you do a shinu Hashem to a bearded dragon? But there's still that. The question remains, what do you do about that? How is it fed? It has a mixed diet of vegetables and also live cockroaches. So this raises various issues. One of them is to do with the etzim feeding of animals on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The second one is to do with mukta. The third one is to do with tzeder, with trapping. Question about opening and closing the door, putting it back in its cage. Another question was also brought up that if you feed it with the cockroaches, are you doing gram harig? Are you causing, because it eats them alive, are you causing the death of these cockroaches? As a shayla hariga on Shabbos, and also with its sa'a balei chaim. Now, I know at this point you will groan and think, well, that's 20 minutes for each bit, so it's a quarter to 10, we stop, come what may. So, what? Yes, you could, yes. Yes, some of the different animals have different halakhas. So, first of all, when it comes to feeding animals, so it says in the Shulchan Aruch, comes from the Gemara and the Mishnah Shabbos, you can't put water or food before bees, and not before doves. Not before a dog. But you can feed geese, ducks, and chickens, and the only basis domesticated animals. Where they depend on you for the food. So that means it doesn't matter whether they're yours or not. If they depend on you for the food, the birds even outside which can't get food apart from you, that can help. Usually the case is they're yours and they depend on you for their food. Once they're dependent on you for the food, then you can feed them. And not only you, but someone else can also feed them. So doves and bees cannot be fed, because they, even if they're yours, they can go and get their own food elsewhere. Now, this touches on the subject of feeding. This Shabbos is Shabbos Shira, and people have the minhag of feeding birds on Shabbos Shira. I'll speak about this briefly, because last year, one of the Avrikim from my kollel, Yishai Lister, spoke about this last year. Yishai Lister, Morlein Kollel, sort code 16001, if you're getting to take this down. And he spoke about this, but just to imagine he covered all these points. So it's a well-known minhag to feed the birds on Shabbos Shira, and the reasons are well known. The problem is that these birds are not dependent on us for their mazonah, so how come this is mutter? So the Mogen Avraham writes, in fact, that it says it's an incorrect minhag. It's not allowed, because you're not allowed to feed animals which don't depend upon you for their mazonah. And the Mishnah Berurah just quotes this without any comment. The Tosfos Shabbos writes to be miyasef this minhag, he says that we don't need to eject to the minhag because we're doing it for the reasons of the mitzvah. We're not doing it primarily to feed the birds, but we're doing it rather for the reasons of the mitzvah. So the tirucha involved is not a tirucha for them, it's a tirucha for us. The Mukacher Rebbe writes that this was accepted minhag among great people, gedolim. The Tzitz Eliezer also writes the same thing, that it was a minhag among gedolim and no one ever objected to it. And the Makor Chaim suggests another reason why it's mutter. He says, it's only when you actually place the food before the animals. You actually put it in the Torah and you put it before them. But if you just leave it out in the windowsill and then birds come of their own accord and take it, then that's not considered terrible for them. The Yalkut Yosef mentions a menorah Tahora who suggests that if the issa of feeding animals is that you might come to trap them, then there's no problem if the birds are not there at the time because you won't come to trap them. The Stipler asked the Chazon Ish about this, and the Chazon Ish said it's osa to do so because of the Mogen Avraham, and the Stipler himself used to do so on Sunday, not on Shabbos. He used to do it on Sunday, and some say that if you pray it before Shabbos and you put it in the windowsill before Shabbos with the plate covered, and then you take it off on Shabbos, then there's no tirchah at all, and that's okay. And the Yalkut Yosef, his maskana is that those who do so, they've got to whom they can be know it, they can be somich on them if they do so. So that is regarding feeding the birds on Shabbos. Regarding this bearded dragon, well, the bearded dragon depends on you. It can't get its own food, it's in its cage. So it depends on, so you are allowed to feed it. We'll have to come on to the issue of the cockroaches in a minute, but just the etzem of feeding them is okay. There's another point, which is even animals which depend on you. If you get by without having to feed them on Shabbos, you do so before Shabbos and afterwards. And I believe that is the case, that you can get by with, doesn't need such fresh vegetables, you put it before and afterwards. And cockroaches also, I believe, that you can get by. So from that point of view, you should actually avoid feeding it on Shabbos if you don't have to. However, when it comes to Yontif, you've got another issue, because then you've got 2 days. We've discussed also, and Naftali mentioned about the question that the cockroaches have to be fed, and the feed for the cockroaches is chometz. But he suggested that if cockroaches can survive, we know in Eretz Yisrael, the cockroaches survive in the kitchens, so presumably they have a very varied diet, and they could even eat, say, matzah meal. What Naftali doesn't know is his cockroaches only take shmura matzah meal, spelt matzah meal, in its mishas ketzira, and they cost, it's about 50 pence a crumb. That would be the issue of that. Now, what? It's chodosh. It's not on the second day. So the first day you've got a problem. The second day you could always feed it. It's become yosel already. Okay. So now, so that's regarding feeding them. Now the second issue is the issue of mukta, because we know that the Mishnah, the Gemara says that Baalei Chaim are mukta. So you can't handle the lizard itself. Simply speaking, you can't handle the lizard. And also handling the cockroaches, if you like that sort of thing, to put them inside the cage would be an issue of muksa. So the question is there any leniency regarding this? So there's a Tosfos in Shabbos Daf Mem Hey Omer Beis that discusses this. That it talks there about a cage that's got inside a dead chick. And therefore it's muksa. The cage is muksa because of the dead chick inside it. And Rabbi Yosef asked there in Tosfos, why does it say a dead chick? And he says, because if it's a live chick, it's okay, because you can take the chick to get your kid to play with it. They didn't have many toys then, so that was the sort of thing you do. You give it. So Rabbi Yosef says that the chick is not muksa because it's a toy. However, Tosfos himself argues on that and says no, it's he disagrees and says that live animals are muksa. Now this Shaila was asked to the Rosh by the Or Zorah. The Or Zorah asked the Rosh, there's a Gemara that speaks about something called the Silikusa. Silikusa was a plant that was for noif, it looked nice. So he says, if you got a plant is not considered muksa because it's, even though it's got no other use, just because it looks nice and you could take it out. So therefore, if you've got a cage with birds in and the birds sing nicely, that should also make them not muksa. And the Rosh answers and says no. He says that there's a low plug, that they are all animals are muksa whether or not they have a use or not. So it doesn't really help. And he says that all animals are muksa. Now there is there's a Sefer Nezi Yisrael who quotes the Or Zorah. And the Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa asks that he quotes the Ozaru, but doesn't quote the Rosh's answer. The Rosh said that they all are muksa. And simply speaking, the Shulchan Aruch seems to pass like that. He writes in Shin Ches, Osel Taltel Behema Chayev Oif. Just simply, all animals are Muktza. However, there is, and the Mishnah also on the Bechaba says the same thing, and says they're Muktza like stones. And the Rosh said that you can't compare them to a Keli. A Keli is something which can be not Muktza if it's got a use, but animals are not Kalim, and therefore they remain Muktza. Now, there's a lot of interesting correspondence about what the view of Rav Moshe Feinstein was on this matter. Because if you look in Rav Bodner's Sefer, you know Rav Bodner's Muktza Sefer, at the back of it he's got about 38 short questions on all the Hilchos Muktza, which he asked Rav Moshe Feinstein, and short answers, and in one of them he writes about animals, and there Rav Moshe writes that animals are Muktza, even pets are Muktza. And the Svara was to say that maybe pets are different. Nowadays it's so common to have pets, and people use the pets, that maybe the pets become no longer Muktza. But there he writes, Rav Moshe's answer is simply that pets are Muktza. However, if you look in Chelek Hei of Rav Moshe's Tshuvas, of Igros Moshe, there he's got the same questions and answers, exactly brought down the same, but when it comes to the question of are animals Muktza, so there he writes, it's written there that the animals are Muktza, Afila oisen shatinokim sachim bahen, even ones which the kids play with. Ela im kain hei miuchodim the shashuim, and it says pei ayin tes samach. What's that spell out? Pets, right? So unless they're miuchad for playing with, for pets, and those words ela im kain hei miuchodim the shashuim are written in a slightly smaller font. So Rav Tzvi Reisman was giving a shiur on a Muktza, and he came to this issue. So he wrote to Rabbi Rappaport, who was Rabbi Rappaport and Rav Tendler together, the ones who edited this volume, which came out after Rav Moshe's Petira, and asked him about it. And he explains that that Rav Moshe held that animals, that pets were not Muktza, and told him that many times, that pets were not Muktza. And he argued with Rav Moshe and said, how can pets not be Muktza? They must be Muktza. He says, you can't make them like an object, a chefetz, because you can be miyachad if it's under, but animals are autonomous, and they've got their own das, so you can't miyachad. Rav Moshe says, no, they're not Muktza. And he said that they went through these tshuvas, and this is what Rav Moshe said, that they should add in to this. So it's added in afterwards, although it wasn't in the tshuva that he to Rav Bodner, but that definitely that his view was that it was not Muktza. And Rav Tendler writes that Rav Tendler allowed his children, his grandchildren to play with pets on Shabbos. So that would be a source to say Rav Moshe holds that they're not Muktza. This, of course, is very relevant to blind dogs, right? What they're called, seeing eye dogs in America. Guide dogs, that's it, guide dogs, yes. Seeing eye dogs, they call them in America. I mean, the truth is there, you don't actually need to move them, because they guide the person, but that is also relevant to that. So this is the issue about what Rav Moshe held about them. In terms of the halacha lemaisa on this, whether pets are considered muktza, the general view seems to be that they are muktza. If you look in Ofer Shabbos, he says they are muktza. I saw brought down in this subject that Rav Shai Zalman, in Shemir Shabbos, in the notes, he discusses birds in a cage. And I saw it brought down that just like, according to the view of Rav Moshe, if you say that Rav Moshe held they're not muktza, so Rav Shai Zalman held the same. But actually, if you look at what Rav Shai Zalman said, it's something slightly different. Because he says that if you have, for example, a goldfish bowl, he says a goldfish bowl with a goldfish inside is something which is there as decoration for the house. It looks nice in the house, and therefore it's not the same as an animal which itself is there for pleasure or for noise. That it's part of the actual bowl itself, and therefore it would not be muktza. I know that my daughter, when she was in Sem, there were some girls who had some goldfish that they kept in the sink. They made a lot of fuss about it, and they got my daughter's nerves. So what she did, she went to the pet shop and she bought some more goldfish, some little ones, and she, when they were out, she put them in and told everyone that the goldfish had babies. So they didn't. In fact, I had the same issue, because when Naftali, when you were talking about feeding them, I understood you were talking about the bearded dragon, and I thought maybe it had a baby. But then I realized you were actually talking about feeding the cockroaches. So simply speaking, the cockroaches and also the bearded dragon are muktza. There would be as far as say maybe the bearded dragon is not a bookseller, according to those who say that pets are not a bookseller, but you could argue that maybe the bearded dragon is a bit different from a pet like a pet, a cat or a dog. People spend a lot of time having bonding experiences with their cats and dogs and so on, and they really do use them. But I don't think, is that the case here with the bearded dragon? You don't quite so much take it out and sort of play with it as much? Some people do. Okay, so that if that is the case, then you could say maybe it's the same. But when it comes to the cockroaches, then you're on much worse ground. No one plays with cockroaches, except for maybe kids, you know, not as far as I know. I do remember a poem, "Cockroach sandwich for my lunch, hate the taste, but love the crunch." So the cockroaches would be books, and therefore you'd have a problem that you couldn't actually move them to feed it, because they're definitely books. And I don't think the all the sphoras we said before, that even if a pet is not muksa, then I don't think that you can say something because it's food for the animals, it becomes not muksa. So therefore you'd have a problem with the cockroaches because of the muksa issue. There are some others the halakhos katanos was mekil. Rav Moshe Eliyahu was also mekil with animals, pets, although he says it's correct to be machmir. Libi omerli, that people have pets, I don't believe that everyone's careful with them. And therefore, I would imagine that here you could be so much on the bikinim, certainly to say that you don't have to be mochir people and tell them they shouldn't be moving their pets, because I can't imagine a 12-year-old girl who's got a pet who's used to petting it would be easily be makabel. And maybe you could say mutar yishoshogim rather than insist on the two. That there's another issue here, which is stroking a pet the same as picking up. Picking up pets definitely more muksa, but stroking it, there are dayas that hold that a chelik just to move it, to move the fur is not a problem. There's a bir halacha that speaks about cleaning your hands on the tail of a horse, or maybe the tail of a fox. And some say that it's talking about when it's detached, and the bir halacha, simply speaking, it's talking about when it's still attached to the fox. So there's issues there about whether moving part of it in such a way is actually muksa or not. So that is the issue of muksa when it comes to this. And simply speaking, we said that maybe the bearded dragon isn't muksa, but simply speaking it is. But the cockroaches that you feed to it definitely are muksa, which would be another reason why you'd have to do so beforehand. Now, there's another issue. If the dragon is muksa, so what about the cage? So what do you say? The cage would be a bosses. Yeah, the cage is a bosses. Like they say with an aquarium, if the fish are muksa and the water inside is also muksa because it's muka for the fish and it's dirty, so the whole thing becomes a bosses. So if the cage is muksa, then what about opening the door? So do we have any cases of things which are muksa and are opening the door? Okay, yes, the door itself, yes, right. That's a good point. Can you think of any cases, the cases that happen every single Shabbos, of an article that's muksa but opening the door? We do it.
On a cupboard, you can still open the door.
On a cupboard, you say?
If you have a candle lighting on the cupboard.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That's a case that's brought there. You've got a sideboard, and there's nothing else except for the candles. The whole thing becomes muksa. So the Tilla Dovid says, although that is muksa, but the drawers and the doors are not muksa. Another very common case we have. What? A freezer. A fridge, a freezer, an oven. Yeah. The oven is a kedisha melechta de iso, because even though you do keep the food inside it, its main tatlis is for the food. So the cooking, rather. And therefore, therefore it's kedisha melechta de iso, which means the oven door can be opened, but it has the same din as the oven. It's a kedisha melechta de iso. So you can open it and close it at the sorek gufo or makomoi. Another example is if you've got soil clothes that you want to put into the washing machine. So you can put them in the washing machine, and you can open the door of the washing machine if there's no electrics happening there. And then you can only close it again if either you want it gets in the way, or because you want to stop the smell coming out. But just to close it for no reason, then for the sake of the washing machine itself, would not be moving it sorry, kufa or makoma, but for the washing machine itself, and therefore you would have to. So you wouldn't be allowed to close it. You could do it kalachayad, but you wouldn't be allowed to close it.
The reason you can't ride a horse.
Yes.
Now it says the reason regarding the horse around Shabbos is also because it's
possible. Right, you're right. That follows from it. Once it becomes a thing that you've got no use for because you can't ride it, then it becomes muktzah. It's that way around. No, because if you could ride a horse on Shabbos, then it would have a use, and it wouldn't be muktzah. It's like saying you sometimes hear kids say, "What's wrong with a pen? A pen is muktzah." They're right, the pen is muktzah, but the pen is muktzah because you can't ride with it. Since you can't ride with it, it becomes muktzah. It's the same with the horse. If we were all allowed to ride horses on Shabbos, then they wouldn't be muktzah. It's like a bike, for example. They say tricycles, kids' tricycles are okay, adults' bikes are not okay. So a kids' tricycle is not muksa because you can use it, an adult bike is muksa because you can't use it. It starts with the fact that you can't use it, and then it becomes muksa afterwards.
So what about
other animals?
You talk about a horse,
the reason
the horse
can't
muksa is because
you
can't use it because
you
might come to...
Right. Well, other animals have... Right, so they have no intrinsic use. Right. Right.
But what is the preventative problem
that's
causing the
Right. Right. Okay. The other animals, they are like stones. A stone has no intrinsic use, so it's also because it has no intrinsic use. So animals also have no intrinsic use. And the issue is whether, the discussion is whether petting them is enough of a use to mean that it's different. The Rosh took the view, no, it's a low plug. All animals, they have intrinsic use. So even in a case where you might have a use, like the chick for playing with, they still remain muksa.
So you have a guard dog, a special
right.
Have a
right. But the use that's involved isn't a use that you use it for. It's like a wall clock. An electric wall clock has a use, I look at it, but there's no use that I use it for, and therefore it stays muktzah. You see what I mean? It has a use, but not, let's call it hishtamshus, an actual use that you are using. And that's the thing with animals, they don't have a hishtamshus that they're using. But I would say a guide dog rather than a guard. A guard dog doesn't have use because its use for you doesn't involve you actually using it, right? You don't have to manipulate the dog if it to do its job. But a guide dog does. And that I didn't go enough into this issue of a guide dog to really want to say something authoritative here. But it would seem that a guide dog is much better than the other things because it has an actual use that involves you using it. Okay. Yes, side. Yes, but mishtamshus. Yeah, that be mishtamshus balechaim. And there, I think the heter was that it was the side of the animal. I think as far as I recall, it was a side. Yeah. So you see that you're right. There is a use there, but that's an unusual use. It's not. It's not like a common use. I think it wouldn't say the animal has a use because of that. Right. And they said it was muktzah. Yes. Okay. I remember the Gemara, but I can't remember well enough to handle with you on that. Yeah. Right. But no, but why? What's the kasher from there? So
if you're allowed to touch the animal or not.
So rubbing his child against the animal, the side of the animal, that's not a problem of muksa, because you're not moving the animal.
Yeah.
The shayla was hishtamshus balechaim. That was the issue of hishtamshus. And he held that the side of the animal was okay, because the issue of hishtamshus, the balechaim, is only riding on it, but not using the side of the animal. And that's why, as I recall, he did it. Okay. So I can't hear you. Right. Yes. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, using the side animal for the sukkah. Yeah, that's another case. Okay. Now, moving on to the issue of seder. So we've finished about opening the door, that you can open the door of the cage. Even if the cage is muksa, but the door itself is not muksa. It might be kedusha melech al issa, but you can open it and close it because you need to. Now, the final issue is the question of tseda, of trapping animals. So when it comes to tseda, we are machalik between an animal which is yesh b'mino nitzoid, an animal which is trapped, they trap it for that, and ein b'mino nitzoid. So yesh b'mino nitzoid is otam min ha-Torah, ein b'mino nitzoid is otam min ha-Rabbanan. these animals, like lizards and so on, are called bimino nitzo because there's a roaring trade of pets. They are called bimino nitzo. Interestingly, a bee is not called bimino nitzo. Do you know why? Because even people who keep bees don't trap them. They leave the hive open because that's the bees. That the bees do. They go and they make the honey. So that bee is not called bimino nitzo. It's still also mitzvah to trap an animal that's ain bimino nitzo. So from that point of view, this is probably bimino nitzo. So from that point of view, it would be a Torah to trap it, which means when you open the cage, and then it, at that point, if you just let it and it could escape, then closing the cage afterwards is a problem. And so therefore you have to, as you open it, you put something else. What do you put? You put there a grate, so to stop it from escaping. But there's another issue when it comes to slow-moving animals. Because the Gemara says that if you have a deer which is too ill to move, then it's trapping it is also midrabbonim, but not minatora, because it's already trapped, because it can't move. It's also midrabbonim because of, you know, sometimes they will be ill, sometimes they won't be ill. The Shaila comes with slow-moving animals, like a tortoise, an ant, and so on. So there are different dayas on this. The Rashi in Chagiga translates the choymet, which is one of the Shemona Shiratzim, as a snail. And the Tosfos Rid says, no, it can't be a snail, because the Mishnah in Shabbos says that you're chayav for trapping the Shemona Shiratzim. And if it's a snail, then there's no chiyuv, because it's slow-moving. So you see from he held that the slow-moving animal doesn't have an issa. Certainly not Issa Minatora on it. There are others who disagree and say even slow-moving animals, it's called Seder. Why? Because even though it's moved so slowly that you would say it's already trapped, but you are restricting its movement. It can move, or you know, half a mile an hour, but it can move, and then when you stop it, when you trap it, you stop it from moving, and therefore, from that point of view, even if we say that this bearded dragon, which could go at an amazing, how many miles an hour, you reckon? It could go at walking pace, yeah? So that, even if you say that a tortoise is not subject to Seder, this might be worse because it can go a little bit faster. And anyway, there are those who disagree and say that a tortoise is subject to Seder. So from that point of view, you're correct that you should make sure you avoid the issue by making sure that when you open it to feed it, then it cannot escape. And the last issue we have, just the last second, is question Sa'a Balechaim, whether there's Sa'a Balechaim on feeding live cockroaches to the... Oh, I should mention that cockroaches are not subject to Seder because they're already trapped. They're in... We say you can't move them because of Muxa, but it wouldn't be Seder to take it out of its container because it's already trapped inside the container. So from that point of view, there wouldn't be a problem. But there is the problem of Muxa. Sa'a Balechaim is not a problem because when you're doing something which causes distress to the creature, but for a purpose, then it's okay. So for example, to feed mice, live mice to snakes is mutter, because there's a toilet of the human being for it, and therefore it's allowed. So I hope you're all going to go out and buy your bearded lizards, and now you know what to do with them.
Wow.
Very
nice.
Amen. 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 Amen.
I'm going to forget about the text. I'm going to go to the next one.